ushers doing a great job, amen? Anyone not get one other than Armando? Isaac, I think your dad needs one, okay? And you guys can bring me the extras if you don't mind. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, you're good. Did you guys keep one for yourselves? Oh, we need some senior ushers to teach the junior ushers. You got to keep one for yourself. Amen. All right, everyone's got one? Praise the Lord. Philippians 4 in verse number 9. So thankful for the Word of God. So thankful to be saved. Amen. And what a joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, and then to live out our faith. I've titled the message this evening, Living Your Faith, and we are to live like Christians. We are to walk as believers. We understand in the book of Philippians, there's some instruction here that we look at in an example of the Apostle Paul, but I'm reminded in the book of Ephesians how many times the Word of God teaches us about our walk. And we understand, and I've said it often from this pulpit, especially as you study the book of Ephesians, you understand that our position in Christ is settled at Calvary. And our walk, as He gives us the admonition to walk as children of the light and to walk in obedience and walk in love and all of those things, we understand that those are not so that we can be saved or so that we can stay saved. That's a result of us being saved. And we're to live as believers. We're to live in such a way that others would see Christ in us. We looked at Acts 3 in our Sunday school hour this morning, and next week we'll be in the fourth chapter and looking at really some of the impact of that miracle of chapter 3. And it's amazing, as Peter stands up and gives them a defense, the Word of God tells us there in Acts 4 in verse number 13 that these men, these religious leaders, when they saw the boldness they had perceived, they thought they were ignorant, unlearned men, and really what they're saying there is that they weren't trained up in the same way that they were. They were just common people. That's what the expression means. And it says that they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Man, that's a great truth of the Word of God. And there's some people that ought to be able to see in us, they should observe in us, that we've been with the Lord, that we're walking and living as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth. We understand that Jesus gave us that instruction. And Philippians chapter 2, I asked you to look in chapter 4, but look at what he says in verse number 15 of chapter 2. He says this with regard to our testimonies in this world. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless. Well, let me read verse number 14 with it. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's a challenging verse. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, that we can finish that course, finish that race, understanding that we lived as we are to live as lights in this world. Notice what Paul says to the believers as he's wrapping up here, these believers in Philippi, as he's wrapping up this short epistle. In chapter 4 and verse number 9, notice what he says here, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace shall be with you. We find that Paul was faithful to teach and to instruct, and these believers had learned, they had received and heard the instruction, but they didn't just hear a message passing through the lips of the Apostle Paul, they saw a message through the life of the Apostle Paul. He says, not only what you've learned and received and heard, but what you've seen in me, do. I've often been challenged as I read the letters of the Apostle Paul. Obviously, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, but often as you read his letters, you find that he's instructing the believers that he's ministering to live in a certain way, to do certain things, but he himself, if you look at his life, he is living that way. He's not just telling people to do something that he himself is not doing. And so we think about this truth of as seen in me. Really, I think of the fact that Paul is living out his faith. He has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been saved. He's now living by faith. And as we begin this new year, I believe that it's important for us to live out our faith. I did this same idea last year with a card that I gave you the first of the year, and I asked you to make some commitments, some spiritual goals for 2022, and now it's 2023. And so we're going to make some new goals, some new commitments. Someone just held some up. I had mine in the back of my Bible until yesterday, actually this afternoon, when I took it out from the back of my Bible, and then I will replace it with one that I have now in my Bible. Why? Because I want to keep it in front of me. I want to remind myself of the goals that I have made, and I want you to remind yourself as well of the goals that you have made. On the back of this card, it says, and it's a quote that's not original with me, but if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And how important it is for us to make plans and preparations that we would set these goals. And so this evening, I just want to look at a couple of areas of our lives. And I want to say this. When I was in the corporate world, we talk about SMART goals all the time. And I want to just preface the message this evening with saying this. And I was talking with one of my brother-in-laws this week as they were visiting. It's not very wise of us to just say, I'm going to read my Bible more this year than I did last year. Because at the end of the day, what does that really mean? There's nothing specific about that. There's nothing that's measurable about that goal. It's just that I'm going to do something more than before. And so it's important for us to have stated specific goals that are attainable goals. I said this in the same conversation with my brother-in-law this week. I said, if someone's never read the Bible in its entirety, they've never read the whole Bible in a calendar year, it's probably not wise for them to say, I'm going to read the Bible through 12 times in 2023. Because you're going to get discouraged somewhere around, February that you're not where you want it to be. And then if you're not careful, you'll begin to just quit and you will not be able to really see yourself growing the way that you need to grow. And so it's the idea of stating some goals that are attainable goals as well. What makes sense with this? And we understand that as believers that the Word of God is important to us. I'm going to look at three areas. You see them already on the back of the card if you flipped it over and looked at it. But the reality is that we need to ensure that the goals that we make are just attainable. And I want to encourage you with that. I remember seeing a number of people over the years of ministry that would set goals and they would be discouraged because they would get partway through and they would just kind of get behind and then it would get to the point where they felt like they just never could catch up and they just quit. And the reality is that it's far better, as we would think about, especially with reading the Bible, prayer as well, that the quality is of far more importance than the quantity. And if you say, I'm going to read the Bible through once a month, but you don't get anything out of it, well, that's not really helpful. And so it'd be far better to read it once through in a calendar year and really grasp the truth that God has for you. And we will look at some things with regard to that specifically. I want to start this evening not with Bible reading. However, I want to start with prayer. And let me see if this thing is working here. And perfect. And so I want to think about prayer. I'm so thankful for the privilege of prayer, aren't you? That we can go to God at any time for any reason. He tells us, he's extended to you and I as his children an open invitation, call unto me. And he says this, and I will answer thee. Isn't that exciting? He says, I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's exciting as you read that prayer promise in Jeremiah 33:3, but then when you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that Lamentations, you see that the Bible says that Jeremiah did call upon God, and God did answer, and God did work. And you study the life of Jeremiah, and you see, though there was great destruction and all that happened, the Babylonian captivity, how God blessed Jeremiah for his faithfulness and how God supernaturally protected his man. And as believers, we have this unique privilege to go to God in prayer. The disciples, of course, they ask the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Of all the things that you could ask someone to teach you, what would be the top of your list when you look at certain people and say, man, I'd like for this person to teach me this and so on and so forth. Well, the disciples, as they had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Prayer's work. It's labor. When you go to God in prayer, the devil doesn't like it. We have an enemy, and he doesn't like us to pray. Have you experienced it? It seems as if the distractions come and all sorts of things happen. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to pray. We find that prayer is a unique privilege for us. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And God used this passage of Scripture in my life, as I mentioned this morning, about a year ago, with regard to prayer in our church services as a corporate body of believers praying together. But notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, the Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and so you see the priority that is placed upon prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Notice what the Bible says. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Well, God tells us that something's good and acceptable to Him, we ought to take note and say, well, that's something I ought to be doing. By the way, it seems as if it's far easier to complain about and talk negatively about those that are in authority than to pray for those that are in authority. But God tells us that we're to pray for those that are in authority. And it says in verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'm so thankful that we can have confidence in our prayer. I preached a message just a few weeks ago from 1 John chapter number 5 as we were finishing up our theme for the year and finishing up the short epistle, 1 John. And the Bible said this in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And I'm not going to re-preach that message, but I thought as I prepared that message and delivered that message, how God spoke to my heart and encouraged me, how that through this truth of praying according to His will in confidence in God answering, how through that whole process, the product is a closer walk with Him. Because in order for me to pray according to His will, I need to get into the Word of God. And as I get into the Word of God, I understand what His will is, and then I'm praying according to His will. And if I'm praying according to His will, He hears me and He answers, and that causes me to rejoice and to have my faith increased, and it encourages me to continue to pray according to His will, which leads me back to His Word so that I can find out what His will is, so that I can pray according to His will, and all the while I'm being drawn closer to my Savior. And what a blessing that is. We find that prayer is an important part of our lives. It's something that we must not neglect. It's something that we must not use in case of emergency. We see that sometimes with things in life, and you'll go to a particular establishment and it will say, in case of emergency, and there's maybe a fire extinguisher or some other piece of medical equipment that you're to break and use in case of emergency. That's not the way that we view or should have an approach, an idea with regard to prayer. We get to enter into the presence of God. It's amazing. So when you think about prayer, and obviously the back of your card has the same thing that we have here, but this evening, maybe you just haven't had a committed, consistent prayer life. I find personally, for me, and I'm being very transparent this evening, and I hope you'd be transparent, not necessarily with me, just be honest with yourself, be transparent with the Lord. For me, prayer is the hardest discipline in my Christian life. Bible reading is not. I can read the Bible for hours. Prayer, it's tough. I'm being very transparent this evening. I pray. I pray every day. I'm not saying I don't pray. I'm just saying that prayer is the hardest discipline because there's so many distractions, so many things that come up. And so the things that I've done, incorporated in my own life to help me in my prayer life, because I've been able to identify through that process of examination and humility and honesty of this is the hardest discipline in my life. Some people, prayer is easier for them than Bible reading. And we understand that we're all different, but prayer, we need to have a plan for prayer. We need to have a place. Listen, if we don't have a plan, if we don't have a place, it's just not going to happen by accident. You're not going to spend good quality time in prayer tomorrow by accident. It's probably in all of our lives, with all of the things going on in our lives, we're probably not going to come to a place where we say, you know, I have absolutely nothing to do, so I think I'll pray. It's probably not going to happen for any of us. The reality is that for most of us this evening, we have more things to do in a day than we can probably get accomplished. And so what gets pushed out? It cannot be prayer. We need to set time to pray, to see what God is able to do, to see how God is able to work, because our God answers prayer. And He is able, as I mentioned this morning, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and how grateful I am for the privilege of prayer. And so this evening, I'm going to ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to turn these cards back into me. I don't want them. I don't want you to even show them to me. It's not my interest. It's not my desire. I'm trying to get a tool into your hand that will help you before the Lord to make a commitment to God. And maybe you've not had that consistent prayer life, and you're going to start with just a commitment of just a few minutes a day. Every day, start somewhere, a few minutes a day. Maybe you've already had a consistent prayer life, but you want to pray more. You want to have more time with the Lord. Maybe in that blank there where there's nothing listed as far as the number of minutes, maybe you're going to put 60 or 90 or something in there because that's what your commitment is. That's where you are in your Christian life. But for some that are babes in Christ, and I remember when I first got saved, if you told me I was going to pray for an hour a day, I don't think I ever would have been able to. And so each of us are at a different place in our lives spiritually, but the reality is that each of us ought to be spending daily quality time in prayer with God. Think about Bible reading, and the next one there. We cannot take heed to that which we do not know. We're not going to be able to obey the Word of God if we don't know it, if we're not in it. Let me say this. If you are faithful to every church service at Fellowship Baptist Church, and by God's grace and with God's help, I endeavor four times a week to preach the Word of God. The Bible gives me the requirement, the responsibility to feed the flock of God, and by God's grace and with God's help, I seek to give you the Word of God four times a week. But if all the Word of God you get is from this pulpit, it's not enough. It's not enough. It doesn't matter that you're here for all four services. I mean, you ought to be here for all of the services. You ought to be desiring to learn the Word of God. But the reality is that you need more than just the public preaching of the Word of God. You need a daily time with God and His Word. You need to feast upon the Word of God. And as we begin to think about the Word of God, I want you to consider what the Bible says of itself. Go over to the book of Joshua, if you will. I want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture that I hope will be an encouragement and help to us. These are verses that are familiar to us, no doubt, but I hope this evening that as we consider this truth of being students of the Word and our Bible reading discipline, if we could use that terminology this evening, that we'd understand the importance of daily spending time in the Word of God. In the book of Joshua, we understand the historical context of all that's going to take place, and Moses had been the human leader for the nation of Israel, and now he is no longer, and Joshua is going to be the new leader, and he's going to lead the people of God into the land of promise. And we find that the books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, those first five books, the Pentateuch, and we look at those books, and we see that God had used Moses to pen those books, and then we find that in verse number 8 of Joshua 1 that God says to Joshua, this book of the law, notice what he says, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. As we look at verse number 8 of Joshua 1, we want the then. We want that result. We want to have a way that is prosperous, and we want to have good success. And I understand this evening that the terminology that what we would look at as prosperous and good success is different than what the world would look at. I understand that this evening. And on a Sunday night, I hope that everyone here would understand the difference between our understanding of prosperous and good success differing from the world's perspective. But we desire to have that result. But the result comes as a result of the process. You cannot dismiss the process and expect to have the result. This is not going to work. And so what's the process? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? What's the purpose? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, after you do that, this is the result. And so the process is of great importance. And God says that this is to be the focus in this book. It's to be a guide for us. We understand that the Word of God is profitable. He told us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Doesn't it? It's amazing to me how we could have a book, a resource, if I could use that term this evening, that is of such significant profit for us and yet neglect it. It's sad. Notice over in Psalm 1, notice what the Word of God says. Again, familiar verses of Scripture. In Psalm 1, very similar to what we've read there in Joshua 1. Psalm 1, look at verses 1 through 3 with me. Psalm 1 and verse number 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." What's the result? "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Isn't that amazing? We look at this truth and we find again, very similar to Joshua 1 and verse number 8, but in verse number 8, verse number 3, the stability. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." We don't need to be, as Paul says to the believers there in Ephesus, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. No, we need some stability. But what gives us that strength and what gives us that stability is the Word of God. Apart from the Word of God, we have every wind and doctrine that comes down the pike, and we're going to be tossed to and fro. Why? Because we don't have the absolute standard of the Word of God. And this evening, when we begin to understand these truths of God's Word, and we understand that He told us that we're to be students of the Word, study to show thyself approved unto God. I'm not even talking about studying this evening. I'm just talking about reading the Bible. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." How are we going to grow? Through this book. It is absolutely imperative that we are reading the Bible. "Till I come," he says, we're to give ourselves to reading. Reading what? The Bible. Listen, there's no substitute for reading the Bible. Let me say it this way. Reading a book about the Bible is not the same as reading the Bible. Right? Amen. Reading the Bible is imperative for Christian growth. If we're going to think and act biblically, if we're going to bring everything that we deal with in our lives through the filter of Scripture, then we must know the Bible. And I'm challenged in my own life. Listen, I don't, and I would ask you to examine your own selves. I don't want to spend more time reading other books than I spend reading the book. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't read any other book. I'm just saying, if we're reading the Bible for a couple of minutes every day and we're reading other books for hours a day, we got to understand the importance of this book. The Bible, the Word of God. The Bible reveals to us who God is. Without it, we don't know who He is. I spoke this morning, I was preaching on the greatness of God. I didn't ask the question, but as we put that message and this message together, we say, how do we know that God is great? He's revealed it to us in His Word. So if you go to a place where they have no Bible, they have all kinds of ideas that are foreign to the Bible. Because it's through the Bible that God reveals to us His greatness. You say, tell me what you know about God. Tell me some of His attributes. Well, God is merciful. How do you know that? Right? Through the book. God is love. How do you know that? Through the book. How do we know the way of salvation? Through the Word of God. The plan that God has for the ages, He reveals to us through the pages of Scripture. God provides us with direction in His Word. I'm so thankful there are many times in our lives in which we need direction and we're in a place where we need God to provide us with guidance in that direction. We look at the Old Testament and we understand how the nation of Israel was led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and what a blessing. But we have the whole canon of Scripture, and God says that His Word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path, and God provides us with that direction. I often in my life will pray, even as the psalmist prayed, that God would make my path straight, that God would make it clear. He says this in Psalm 5 in verse number 8, lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. We see that God provides direction for us. God uses His Word to increase our faith. So we make a commitment to read the Bible daily. I mentioned already that quality, even with prayer, as is the case here with Bible reading, quality is more important than quantity. You know, there's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. And if you look at the math and the 365 days in a calendar year, it's 3.25 chapters per day that you would need to read in order to read through the entire Bible in 1 year. If you add up the time, and it's kind of interesting, I read a story I'll share with you in just a moment about this, but they say, on average, that the Old Testament is going to take 52 hours and 20 minutes to read. The New Testament will take 18 hours and 20 minutes to read, so for the entire Bible is 70 hours and 40 minutes. And someone heard a preacher make that declaration of the amount of time it took to read, and they said, I don't believe you. And the preacher said, well, then you figure out how long it takes. And a couple months later, he came back and said, I just want you to know it only took me 61 hours. And he read it faster than what the average rate of reading was. But if you do that math, to read the entire Bible in one calendar year is less than 12 minutes per day. Now think about that. That's not a lot of time. 12 minutes a day to read the whole Bible through in a calendar year. And I understand that everyone reads at a little bit different pace. I understand that there are some that are slower readers, some that are faster, and I get that, but that's an average. And so for 12 minutes a day, that's not much of a commitment. To be able to get the mind of God, to be able to get the profit, the benefit that God gives us through His Word. So this evening, when we think about Bible reading, I put up here, I've done this before, Psalms every month. This year, just to let you know, I'm planning to read Psalms and Proverbs each month, and I'm going to probably read the Bible through twice this year. Last year, I did it twice in the New Testament, twice. There are years that I've done the entire thing three times in the year. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you what I've done. I personally like reading Genesis to Revelation. It's just what I do. I like to start in Genesis. I did this morning. I'll read through Revelation, and then when I get done, I'll start in Genesis again. And then sometimes I'll go through Revelation, and then I'll just start back in Matthew and read through the New Testament a couple of times. But several years ago, I read the book of Psalms every month. It's 5 Psalms a day, and it'll bless your heart. It will encourage you to do Again, whatever you're going to do, whatever you feel the Lord would lead you to do, but reading the Psalms every month is a real blessing. Someone asked me, what do you do when you get to Psalm 119? Well, you just set aside a little bit more time. I mean, it's just you just have to plan for it. It's what you have to do. But the benefit of reading the Word of God and getting the truth just permeated into your mind, reading a proverb every day, there are most, 30 to 31 days in a month other than February, and you understand there are 31 proverbs, and so if you read a proverb a day, and in the months that only have 30 days, just pick a day to read two, if that's the last day of the month or however you do that. But the encouragement and the wisdom that you get from Psalms and Proverbs, it's a real blessing. Maybe read through just the New Testament, maybe just the Old Testament, maybe the entirety of the Bible. We got three Bible reading plans that we have resources for you this evening that you would have the opportunity to just make a commitment to God. I would never ask you, I'd never want to embarrass you to know who's read the Bible through in a year and so on and so forth. The reality is that for some people, it might take a couple of years to read the Bible through, and that's okay. You're reading the Bible every day. And you're digging into the Word of God. Someone said this, I read it years ago, and I thought it was just a simple statement, but impactful thought, that thumbprints in the Bible are more important than footprints on the moon. And I thought, that's pretty good. We need to get the Bible into us. If we're going to live in this society and make a difference, we need to learn to think and act biblically. We live in a world that's so far from a biblical worldview. And unfortunately, the world and their philosophy, their ideologies, is influencing the church. We see it all over the place, how that the world's ideologies are influencing the church. We see it all the way back in Corinth. That's what was happening in Corinth. And God has given the church the responsibility to influence the culture. And this evening, if we're going to have that influence, if we're going to have a biblical worldview, it's going to be because we are daily spending time with God in His Word. And then let's look at this, witnessing. As God's people, we are to be His witnesses. In fact, the disciples make that proclamation. Look over in the book of Acts, if you will, and we could look at a number of verses this evening and look at all of the truth with regard to the Great Commission given in each of the Gospels. But look over in Acts 5. I want to just look at this passage and hope to be a blessing to you this evening. We think about this, and we understand this evening that God has given us this responsibility. But more than being given a responsibility, we've been given the privilege to be His representatives. And it truly is a blessing to be able to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are His ambassadors, His representatives, and what a blessing that is. This world is not my home. I'm going to heaven, right? We're citizens of heaven, but God's left us here on this earth to be His representatives. Notice in Acts chapter 5, I'm going to kind of jump in here in the middle of what's taking place. In verse 18, it says that they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They were filled with indignation, according to verse number 17. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And that's exactly what had brought them into prison in the first place and what had caused these religious leaders to be filled with indignation. And we find that the high priest and the Sadducees, they were not happy with what was taking place, and they put them in ward, and then the angel of the Lord releases them. Isn't that exciting to see what God's able to do? In verse number 20, it says, it gives them what to do. Verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. The Bible says that the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when it opened, we found no man within. Isn't that hilarious? I mean, honestly. God worked. These guys are like, all right, we got our decision what we're going to do. Go get those prisoners and bring them to us. And they go, and they open the prison, and there's no one there. And verse number 24, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Praise the Lord. They're doing exactly what the angel of the Lord told them to do in verse number 19. The captain then sends, it says, Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? What was the name? It was the name of Jesus. The name which is above every name. The only name through which there's salvation. We find that they say, And behold, notice, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Aren't you thankful for their boldness? It was actually back in Acts 4 that they prayed for boldness, and God granted them that boldness as He filled them, gave them the Spirit of God. And it says this in verse number 30, The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Notice the statement, And we are His witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. We find that they make this declaration in verse 32 that we are His witnesses of these things. In our track rack in the back, we have this verse, Acts 5:32, we are His witnesses. We understand this evening the responsibility and the privilege that God has given us to be His representatives. We find that after this had taken place, there's just some further discussion as to what to do with these men, and we find that Gamaliel stands up and gives some counsel as to what should take place, and they listen to him, and they decide that they're going to just beat these men. And the Bible says in verse number 41, They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. But notice what it says in verse 42, And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing to you? These that were faced with, I mean, they'd already been beaten and imprisoned, and now they're beaten again and they're released, and they leave rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His namesake. And they immediately go back to doing what Christ told them to do, knowing that it was that activity that led to their difficulty, to their persecution. But yet they said, We are His witnesses. I've never been imprisoned, thank God. I've never been beaten. I've never suffered like these men suffered to be able to preach the gospel. There are people in countries around the world today that have suffered greatly for preaching the Word of God. For a time, and we don't know for how long, but for a time, we have freedom in this nation. But I would say this, even if there's no freedom, we are still His witnesses. He didn't say, go and preach the gospel so long as you have a U.S. Constitution, a Bill of Rights. No, He said, go and preach the gospel. And I'm thankful that His Word is truth for all nations, and there are plenty of people groups around the world that do not have the same freedoms and rights that we have as American citizens. And let me say this, in a lot of those countries, they're doing more to advance the cause of Christ than we are in America. It's true. It is absolutely true. To see what is taking place around the world for the cause of Christ. This evening, we need to be reminded that we are His witnesses. And we need to make a commitment to God that I'm going to this year, I'm gonna get involved in witnessing. I'm going to distribute tracts. We did a great job during the Christmas season of distributing gospel tracts. We really did. We ran out of two of our Christmas tracts, had zero left. And that's phenomenal. Praise the Lord for it. But we make that commitment. We still get the tracts and get those distributed and ask God to give us opportunities. But I really want to encourage you with this last one. See, the reality, I would never put on this in my own life, nor would I encourage you to make a goal that I'm going to lead a certain number of people to Christ. Because the Bible says that some water, or some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. My goal is to see people saved. But what my purpose and my goal would be with regard to this witnessing is that God would give me the opportunity to share the gospel with someone personally. that He would open up those doors and that I would seize the opportunities. And you say, one a month, I want to do one a week. Praise the Lord. I mean, scratch it out and change it. I mean, you make your commitment to God. Again, I'm not giving these to you with every option that could be there. I made it just kind of concise. But the reality this evening is that you do what God would call you to do and what God would lead you to do. But it's having that mindset of who would God allow me to confront with the gospel, to be able to have that verbal conversation of sharing with them the truth of the Word of God and their need for the Savior. We often sing the song, He's a Wonderful Savior to Me, and He certainly is. I think that each and every one of us in here this evening that have been saved by the blood of Christ would say, He's a wonderful Savior to me. The reality is that He can be a wonderful Savior to your neighbor and to your coworker and to your family member that's lost, because He came to seek and to save, and He's still able to save. And He still saves sinners, and we rejoice greatly in that. So this evening, as we think about making some goals in 2023, we have, you know, the world makes resolutions, right? You've heard about those New Year's resolutions, and I've said this before, and those of you that go to the gym regularly, you get annoyed in January because gym memberships increase, you know, exponentially because everyone's going to get fit and so on and so forth, and then all of a sudden the machines that you want to work on have other people on them and you can't use them and so on and so forth, and you just kind of hold tight until the middle of February and they'll all kind of just fade away and you go back to normal, and that just happens year after year after year. It's just the way it is. There are people that make these resolutions. I had an issue. This is just a funny story, and I thought it would just be appropriate to share this. I had an issue with something that I ordered from Amazon, and how many of you ever had lemon heads? Little candies, lemon heads, right? So I like them. They're tart, they're different, so I ordered some. They were terrible. It's like they sat in a warehouse somewhere for a few years or something. They were awful. So I called Amazon and said, hey, I got this problem, it just got delivered, they're just not good. And the guy had a British accent, and he said, lemon heads. I've never heard of this. And it was kind of interesting, and he's inquiring about these lemon heads, and he says, let me just put you on hold for a minute. And he comes back on, and he takes care of the transaction that needs to be taken care of, and he says this to me. This was yesterday. He says this to me. He says, I think I know what my New Year's resolution is going to be. I'm going to try a lemon head. And I just kind of thought that was comical, right? Like, whatever, try a lemon head, man. Just don't order them from Amazon because they're not good. And but the reality is that as people in our world are making these resolutions and they have all of these different things that they're thinking about, this evening, as the people of God, I want us to think about making some commitments to God for 2023 in our prayer life, in our Bible reading, in our witnessing, that we would live our faith. So often we talk about and we rejoice in the fact that we have a Bible. We ought to be thankful we have a Bible. But if we have a Bible that just sits on a shelf and collects dust, that's not why God gave us a Bible. He gave us a Bible so that we'd read it and study it and know it. We can rejoice in the fact that we can pray, but perhaps we neglect prayer. God said, I give you this privilege, I extend this invitation because I want you to pray. I want you to see what I'm able to do. And then He's left us here to be His witnesses. He's left us here on purpose with a purpose. And this evening, I believe that it's important for us to consider the importance of making some commitments. I read it to you already, but if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Have a plan. Have some spiritual goals in 2023. You may have other goals. People set physical goals. People set financial goals. But it's important, I think, for us to set some spiritual goals and to be specific about it, to state them, to take in the quietness of our invitation this evening. I am going to, we'll have a time of invitation, but I'm not going to ask you to come unless you want to. I'm just going to really pray about what would God want you to do? And maybe you don't know tonight. You're not ready to put something on here, pen it in. But would you make a commitment to God that you're going to pray about what He'd like you to do? So that in 2023, when we come to the end of that year and this year and enter into 2024, we can say, I'm closer to God this year than I was last year. I've done more for the cause of Christ this year than I did last year. I've been able to grow in my walk with Him. I've been able to see God answer prayer. I've been able to see people saved. I've been able to, and God will use us. We have to be specific about it. We need to be just state these things and make these commitments to God. Say, God, use us for your honor and for your glory. Living your faith. Paul said, you've heard, you've received, but he said, you've seen in me. This evening, people need to see that our Christianity is real. And we need to live our faith. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you this evening that you would use us. God, we thank you that you would allow us the privilege of being your witnesses. We thank you that you've given us a Bible that we can read, that we can know the mind of Christ, that provides us with direction and instruction. You've revealed to us who you are and what your plan is. We thank you that you've given us the privilege of prayer. God, I pray that you would help us tonight. A time of year where so many around us are making various resolutions and commitments and so on and so forth, Lord, I pray that we would be focused on having some spiritual goals, and not in a place where we would just flounder around and allow time to pass without being specific in our Christian lives, seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help each of us to take this simple tool of a card and make some commitments, or not to one another, but to you. God, I pray that you would help us throughout the year, that we would keep these as reminders for us so that we could check up and see how we're doing and how we're progressing. That God, you would work in such a way that through our lives, you alone would be glorified. Well, thank you for it. We pray that you'd move and work in these moments as only you can. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand?